Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program, very remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, January 25th, 2021. Pastoralist in Terkeka County hand over stolen cattle to chiefs in Lanya County.
I spoke to some of my colleagues in the cattle camps and they told me that 64 cows have already been returned to the paramount chief.
And regional envoys monitoring South Sudan's revitalized peace agreement express worries about the slow pace of its implementation.
As chair of RJMEC, I've been able to speak to the leadership here, and we've been always talking about the issue of the implementation and the slowness in which it has been going on.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. More protests are being planned for this Wednesday in and around the Sudanese capital Khartoum over rising prices of bread and fuel. Hundreds of people took to the streets again over the weekend in Khartoum to protest rising prices of bread and fuel. Khalid Musa, a former Sudanese diplomat, tells VOA's James Batty that the end of government subsidies has made basic commodities such as bread and fuel unaffordable for the ordinary people.
The basic feature of the budget is the lifting of the subsidization that the government is not supporting any kind of services or basic needs, especially bread and gas. The price of bread in Sudan right now is tripling. It is from 2 Sudanese pound to 4 Sudanese pound. The gas also is very high, and also again, the cooking materials as well. So for that, people are protesting every day. And I think they're planning for the big gathering and the big protest will be after tomorrow, on Wednesday. This is a message to the government that the citizen, the normal people cannot afford to pay for these services and these prices. And they are asking the government to intervene first to stop lifting the subsidization, especially on the basic needs on medical drug, on bread and gas as well.
The economic crisis caused the protest that brought down former President al-Bashir. Now, can you explain what does it mean when they say that the government has decided to change the criteria for determining the selling price of bread to be based on the kilogram instead of the loaf of bread? What does that mean?
Means one thing, that is the government is no longer sustaining or the price. They are not providing an assistance to the normal people affording to buy the food, the bread, because one piece of bread right now is 4 Sudanese pound, which is beyond the financial capacity for any normal family, even middle-class family. They cannot afford that, especially in the urban areas, in towns, cities, and urban areas. And the government is no longer giving subsidization for that. They don't subsidize the bread. They don't subsidize the medical drugs and medication. They have not subsidized the oil and gas. So, I mean, the government is withdrawing. And this is basically the prescription of the IMF and the World Bank. Sudan cannot borrow any loan from the World Bank, from the IMF, unless fully lifting the subsidy to the basic needs. It would be like by the normal the mechanism of the market. It takes place. The social unrest is expected to expand.
The issue of fuel and gas, is it because there's the lack of fuel or gasoline or because there's a lack of foreign exchange? What is responsible for a shortage of gasoline?
The government policies, they relate that to refer that to the market balance and the market power. Right now, the international price. The Sudanese people is buying the gas and oil according to the international price, which is is not fixed. Every time is fluctuating. Right now, in the last week, they increased the price of the oil and gas, and the international market, if the international market goes up, then the local prices in Sudan goes up as well.
That's Khalid Musa, a former Sudanese diplomat. He was speaking with my colleague James Batty from the Sudanese capital, Khartoum. Still on Sudan, a U.S.-based Sudanese analyst says Sudan's transitional government should adopt tough economic reforms to stabilize the economy and benefit from international financial support. The United Kingdom's Secretary of State, Dominic Raab, visited Sudan last week and pledged a bridge loan of 330 million sterling pounds to clear Sudan's arrears with the Africa Development Bank. The UK top diplomat also signed a memorandum of understanding to provide additional 40 million sterling pounds to support Sudan's family program. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
The UK Foreign Secretary and his accompanying delegation met with top Sudanese officials that included the head of Sudan's Sovereign Council, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok, and Acting Foreign Minister Omar Gamaruddin. Raab praised Sudan's government for progress made in achieving a peace deal, civil and legal reforms, and the lifting of Sudan from the U.S. state sponsors of terrorism list. The top British diplomat promised to support Sudan in making economic reforms, complete key transitional bodies, and meet important transitional requirements.
We look forward to seeing preparatory work on a constitution and democratic elections, as well as reforms to stabilize the economy and create the platform for jobs and growth for the young people of this very special and precious country. We're putting our diplomatic, our development capabilities behind the ambitions of the Sudanese people and the next generation. UK assistance to Sudan will be £125 million this financial year.
Raab also signed an MOU with Sudan's acting finance minister to provide 40 million sterling pounds to support Sudan's family program, which provides cash transfers to poor families to help them stay afloat through Sudan's economic hardships. Raab also promised 5 million pounds towards Sudan's efforts to provide assistance to tens of thousands of Ethiopian refugees fleeing the war in their country. Raab's biggest financial pledge, however, was helping Sudan clear its international debt.
We stand ready to support and participate in an international consortium in support of debt relief, clearing the way for Sudan to access much-needed concessional finance. And as part of that coordinated international package, I'm delighted to be able to say, having discussed it with your government, that the UK stands ready to provide £330 million as a bridging loan to clear the arrears to the African Development Bank.
Suleiman Baldo, a senior advisor at a U.S.-based investigative and policy team known as the Century, says, in order for Sudan to benefit from the financial support and make sure its impact reaches all citizens, it must reform and stabilize the economy.
I believe all the donors in the Friends of Sudan community, the U.S., the U.K., and all the others are really putting a lot of emphasis on the necessity of conducting serious and real economic reforms. And particularly now, Sudan has started this difficult path by removing subsidies on fuel. The next step is to harmonize the rate of exchange of the local currency to the dollar. As you know, there are multiple rates of exchange.
Sudan's official exchange rate is 55 Sudanese pounds to the dollar. But on the black market, one U.S. dollar exchanges for anywhere between 260 and 280 Sudanese pounds. Baldo says the multiple exchange rates for the Sudanese pound make donors reluctant to inject money into Sudan's economy because their donations would be depreciated based on the official exchange rate.
There is a lot of goodwill, there is a lot of pledges by multiple, you know, friends of Sudan. However, this, you know, necessity for serious reform, however painful, is holding, you know, the contributions from flowing to Sudan. So these pledges have yet to be honored by many of those who made them in the Berlin conference last year, for instance.
At the Berlin Conference or Sudan Partnership Conference last year, donors pledged some $1.8 billion to support Sudan's economic and political transition. Baldo says a lot of the pledges have yet to be honored because of Sudan's unstable and distorted economy. He also says Sudan's transitional government must take firm measures to address the corrupt capture of large sectors of industry and the economy. Essential reforms include immediately ending the exemption of Sudan security agencies and their corporate holdings from the country's single treasury account system and expediting the digital transformation of tax collection through a single digital window that eliminates the layers of corruption that are thriving in many government departments. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
From Washington, we move to Juba. Some pastoralists from Terekeka County in central Equatorial State have returned more than 100 heads of cattle raided from Lanya County following a community peace conference held in Terekeka County a week ago. A cattle camp leader from Terekeka says his community is in Lanya to look for pasture and wants to live in peace with the host community. For VOA News, Daniel Friday Martin reports from Yei.
Groups of cattle keepers who crossed from Tale and Tindlo in Terekeka County into Lanya County recently fought each other 2 weeks ago in Lukurubang Boma of Lanya County, killing 3 local residents and injuring 4 others. Central Equatoria state leaders organized a peace conference in Terekeka, where participants agreed to return the stolen cattle to the rightful owners to pave the way for peace. Charles Pitia, a cattle camp leader from Terekeka, says his community is in Lanya to search for green pasture and wants to live peacefully with the host community. Pitia says Terekeka leaders are mobilizing community members to return all raided cattle to improve relations between the Imondari and the Pojulu communities.
I spoke to some of my colleagues in the cattle camps and they told me that 64 cows have already been returned to the paramount chief. And I have also told the cattle camp leaders that all the stolen cows be collected and returned to the owners, because we need to dialogue and resolve what happened in the past days so that we stay in peace with one another.
Paul Madul, another cattle camp leader from Terekeka, says he and other local leaders from the area are coordinating the safe return of stolen cattle to Lanya County residents.
I'm currently in Limbe and we brought 96 head of cattle to the local authorities in Limbe to be handed over to the people of Lanya, and if their cassava crops have been eaten by our cows, we shall pay the damages, and for now we need to dialogue and restore peace because we are here looking for green pasture and we return to Terekeka.
Both Pitia and Paul say they have ended hostilities with people in Lanya and expressed their willingness to return to Terekeka ahead of the onset of the rainy season. Simon Ladu, paramount chief of Lanya County, confirmed he had received some cattle on behalf of his community, but says hundreds of other stolen cattle and goats have yet to be returned.
The total number of cattle I received was 64, and there is a committee formed, and we want the remaining cattle handed over to the committee in Lanya. We don't have problems with the Mundari and any other groups of people in Lanya. However, for us to be at peace, we want all the raided cattle returned, and Mundari cattle keepers should go back to the place where they came from.
Agri Cyrus Kanyikwa, chairperson of the committee tasked by Central Equatoria State Governor Emmanuel Adil Anthony to resolve the dispute between Mundari pastoralists and Lanya residents, says his panel will settle the matter amicably.
We have already known the root causes of what has happened, and if the problem is from the local residents of Lanya or the Mundari cattle keepers, we will address this issue peacefully, because what happened was bad and we want to address this problem once and for all so that we stay in peace among ourselves.
Paul Modi, Bishop of Terekeka Diocese of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, is calling on the communities to reconcile and coexist peacefully.
We should not kill ourselves because of cattle, but we should give a chance for development. And secondly, we should not be seen as people who are against peace. And as you are a religious leader, I am calling on you to leave the bad behaviors but build on good practices of understanding and harmony.
Over the past several months, civil society activists and local leaders have repeatedly said a lack of functional local government structures at the county level has fueled intercommunal conflicts in central Equatoria and other parts of the country. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yei, Central Equatoria State.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, a court in Uganda has ordered security forces to end the de facto house arrest of an opposition leader. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
where do you get your health advice from?
Sometimes I get my health advice from my grandmother who is at home. When I'm sick that I can't control myself, she'll help.
I get my health advice from my friend, colleague who live together. We also know about those who have been experiencing more problems about health. They don't advise me through phone. We talk, we chat, discuss everything.
My dad, because my dad is a doctor.
I'd say I get my health advice from various places, the internet, my parents, because I have, my mother is a nurse.
My health advice, I get it on the internet. If I need something on how to deal with obesity, I get it on the internet. Anything I need pertaining to health advice is on the internet.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The head of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, is in South Sudan for the visit to discuss refugee crisis. The UN top diplomat is scheduled to meet South Sudanese leaders and visit parts of the country to get first-hand information on the plight of internally displaced persons. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
UNHCR Chief Filippo Grandi says more than 2 years after the warring parties signed the revitalized peace agreement, the country still remains too fragile for citizens in refugee camps to return home. Grandi says more than 2 million South Sudanese refugees are longing to return home, but favorable conditions such as security, good governance, and service delivery are not in place.
The refugees and the displaced people need to be convinced that it is safe to go back, that they don't have to face risks, violence, especially women, that they're not going to be displaced again, and that there will be resources for their future.
Grandi says once the government puts in place the necessary conditions, it will be important for refugees to return as a sign showing there is sustainable peace in the country and conditions are right for elections to be held at the end of the transitional period. He says even though some 300,000 refugees are believed to have spontaneously returned to South Sudan, UNHCR warns the situation is still risky.
We don't promote because the conditions are still very fragile. But for those who return, of course, we help them. In order for us to promote, you have to make much more progress. I don't know the time frame. The time frame will depend on the action of the government to create those conditions.
Gatwich Peter Kulang, Undersecretary in South Sudan's Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management Ministry, says the government is working to ensure that those who return are protected.
We have set all kind of security organs in the areas, also the regional government, like IGADs, came in. We did a workshops on durable solutions initiatives, where we are preparing the grounds for those who are willing to come back to South Sudan.
Grandi says even if efforts are underway to improve the safe return of refugees, it will be a step-by-step process.
If the conditions inside the country are not stable, the risk is that people will leave again. How many times South Sudanese have left the country? 3-4 times over the past decades. We cannot go back to that situation again. This is why all the political processes that are ongoing inside South Sudan to create stability are so important also for the return of refugees, including eventually elections, of course.
Grandi met with first Vice President Riek Machar and Vice President Rebecca Nyandeng and is also expected to meet with President Salva Kiir to push for sustainable solutions to the refugee crisis and to bring about durable peace. He will also visit refugee and internally displaced people's camps across South Sudan during his 4-day visit. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio Njuba.
Envoys from IGAD and African Union have expressed concern over the slow pace of the implementation of South Sudan's Revitalized Peace Agreement signed in 2018. The chairperson of the Revitalized Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, a body overseeing the implementation of the deal, says security arrangement is pivotal to the success of the peace agreement. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Hundreds of unified forces at the Meridi Military Training Center sang songs of encouragement during a parade on Saturday. Diplomats watching the parade included South Sudan Defense Minister Angelina Tenney, who visited the Meridi Training Center in Western Equatoria State, and another one in Rajaf of Central Equatoria State, with the visiting diplomats over the weekend. IGAD diplomats say they are concerned about the delay in graduating forces as efforts to move forward the implementation of the security arrangements. In Meridi, commanders say the number of unified forces who reported for training in December 2019 were 1,495. But during last weekend's parade, less than 700 forces were in attendance. At the Rajaf Training Center, 8,137 unified forces are waiting to graduate and be deployed as police officers. At both training centers, the forces were drawn from SSPDF, SPLM-AIO, and the South Sudan Opposition Alliance. There are unprecedented challenges facing these trainees, ranging from inadequate logistics to basic supplies like food and water, according to Colonel James Korchwal, Deputy Chief Instructor at Rajaf Unified Training Center.
We have taken the delegation to the store. They have seen that the whole of that store is empty. There's no even a single bag of maize or rice. So they are angry. They don't have food. There's no medicine. Even in the clinic that we have here, we don't have medicines. They don't have clothes. Their clothes are torn because they have 1 full year in the training center. Their clothes are torn. They don't have shoes.
Our JEMEC Chair General Charles Tai Gitwai says the visit was aimed at bringing IGAD and AU diplomats up to speed on conditions at the training centers.
As Chair of RJMEC, I've been able to speak in the leadership here, and we've been always talking about the issue of the implementation and the slowness in which it has been going on.
Lawmakers in the transitional government have said for some time now that the delay in graduating forces from training camps is due to lack of resources. Again, General Gitwai.
Should have been done by now, as much as we are concerned, but we believe that the authorities and the leadership, particularly the presidency, is going to take charge and ensure that this is going to happen, because we believe that the peace process can only be successful if the issue of the implementation of the agreement, and particularly the unification of forces, is critical to the success of the implementation of the agreement.
Gitwai says the guarantors to the peace deal want to see that the security arrangements are fully implemented, describing it as a most important chapter. Joram Mukama Biswaro is the African Union ambassador to South Sudan.
The question of funding, the question of, I think, political will, and there are certain areas which they can do it without necessarily funding. And I think the question of graduation of the soldiers.
Minister Tenney acknowledges that the delay in graduating forces and conditions at the training centers is unacceptable.
People are not happy. Heads of IGAD are not happy. Heads of AU are not happy. UN Security Council, they are not happy. Our neighbors like Sudan and Uganda, our two guarantors, they are not happy. They are asking what happened. Why is the graduation not taking place? Why are things not moving forward? They are hearing that the trainees are suffering from hunger and that others have deserted the camps.
IGAD envoy to South Sudan, Ambassador Ismail Weiss, tells South Sudan in Focus IGAD wants to see that the issue of the peace deal's security arrangements is implemented. Weiss says the unification of the forces, which should happen upon graduation, is the backbone of the agreement.
It is very important that the unified forces are deployed, that they are graduated and deployed, and they are very key to the peace and stability in this country. We have to tell them that we know that their graduation is paramount, and their contribution to peace in this country is key.
According to the implementation matrix of the security arrangements defined in the peace agreement, commencement of training of the unified forces of military, police, and other security sectors should have been finalized within 2 months of the transitional period. Thousands of forces have been in training for more than a year, with many reported to have deserted the camps due to a lack of food, water, and other basic necessities. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
We love to hear what you think about this show. Send us your brief comments about issues in our news or what is happening in your area. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We will air your comments every Friday. That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Coronavirus by Bobby Wine.
The bad news is that everyone is a potential victim, but the good news is that everyone is a potential solution. Sensitize the masses to sanitize, keep a social distance and quarantine. Stop!
The coronavirus is sweeping over mankind.
Everybody must be alert. It's a global pandemic we can never take for granted. It's a matter of life we can never take for granted. Discipline and personal hygiene, and make sure you regularly wash your hands. Keep a distance from everyone. Report anything like a symptom. Serious fever is a symptom. Dry cough is a symptom. Walk with camel is a symptom. Itchy eyes and flu is a symptom.
Everybody
must be alert. It's a global pandemic we can never take for granted. It's a matter of life we can never take for granted.
The coronavirus is sweeping over mankind.
Everybody must be alert. It's a global pandemic we can never take for granted. Kila mtu must be alert. It's a matter of life we can never take for granted. Discipline and personal hygiene, and make sure you regularly wash your hands. Keep a distance from everyone. Report anything like a symptom. Serious fever is a symptom. Dry cough is a symptom. Walk with camel is a symptom. Itchy eyes and flu is a symptom.
We come over to see that. We come over to know
moyo wekwanga mulabira kuitae abasinga bafute okuwebala kisingako bujanja.
We've been listening to Bobby Wine with the song Coronavirus. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Please remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you are in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening at the same time for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
It's a global pandemic we can never take for granted.